this morning for a purpose. And I don't know what you think about when you come to church on Sunday morning, whether you come with a purpose or a goal or anything, but the Bible says that the gift of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher has been given to the church, that the church, that the saints might be equipped to do the work of the ministry. So in what I have to share this morning, it is part of the equipping of the saints so that the saints might do the work of the ministry. And for most of Christendom, we have this backwards. We have a lopsided idea of what it means to be, quote, in ministry. We think of people who are in ministry as people who stand at the pulpit and preach and minister, and people who are in, quote, full-time ministry. But that is the wrong concept of ministry. Really, the ministry is about the people of God doing the ministry. That's what the Bible talks about, that the people of God, the saints, actually are the ones who are to do the work of the ministry. And the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher have been given to be able to equip the saints, the people of God, to do the ministry. And so, as you come this morning, I hope you come with that in mind, that you want to be equipped to do what you're called to do. Each and every one of us have a calling. Each and every one of us have a purpose. We're all called to make an impact on our generation. So I hope this morning you come with that kind of concept, that you want to be equipped so that you might have a greater impact on your generation. The benefits of that are really awesome. One of the greatest benefits of that is that the next generation, if you will do your part in being equipped so that you can have an impact on the next generation, that next generation coming behind you are going to be able to do greater things. You're going to be able to build on what you have done and do greater things than what you have ever done. And you are providing a platform for your children and your children's children to run and do greater things for the kingdom of God than what you've ever done. Now, that's an awesome benefit. If you have any love for the kingdom of God, if you have any desire to make it to heaven and to live a joyous life and receive rewards in heaven, then that should excite you. That should excite you to know that you can do something right now to impact not only your generation, but the generation coming after you, so that you will have reward coming from what the next generation does. That get anybody excited at all? I mean, if I was to tell you now that, you know, one of you who is going to win, you're going to walk out of here with $1 million in your hand, would that excite you at all? Now, don't act all holy on me. You know you would. You know it would excite you. You know you wouldn't mind having somebody put $1 million in your hand. Well, that'd get you excited. Well, what I'm talking about in heaven's glory is way more important than $1 million or $1 billion. The rewards that you get in heaven, the rewards that you can have coming to you in heaven because of how you live life down here on earth, it'd be much more than whatever this earth could possibly offer. And so focus this morning and be equipped so that you can receive the benefits that are coming to you. And we have a role. We have a role in this. You and I have a place to be able to play in advancing the kingdom of God. And first and foremost, our role is to be able to hear God, is to hear from Him, do what you see the Father doing, and see that the things that you do glorify Him. The things that you do glorify Him. Say this with me. I want to do the things that will bring glory to the Father. You see, when we advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're actually bringing glory to the Father. When we live right before God, when we act as a righteous people before God, we bring glory to the Father. We bring glory to His name. So that should encourage us as well. And we can get involved. Some of the things that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks will really help us to be able to get involved to make a difference in the days ahead, to make a difference in our life. Now that, you might say, well, Pastor Bill, listen, I am so beat up that I couldn't possibly be involved in advancing the kingdom of God and then looking after the next generation. I'm so beat up myself, I can hardly make it through. Well, we understand that the enemy comes against us at times, and there's things that are going on in our life that we need to deal with, that we can, that we can get victory over in order to be conquerors in other areas of life. But I'm here to tell you that you can get victory over any situation that is plaguing you today. I know that God has already paid the price for you to be a victorious Christian, and no matter what you're dealing with today, you can get victory over it, but you must come in and learn about the priorities that God has in mind, and if you will put God's priority first, He will begin to look at the things that is bothering you, the things that are plaguing you, and say, I'm willing to move in this because you've been faithful in having your eye on the things that I have my eye on, so I'm going to turn my eye upon your situation and see you set free and delivered. But there's a time of looking to Him. What is on His mind? What are the things? How do you look at your world? How do you see your world? I'm reminded of the couple who were out, and they were vacationing, and they had a beautiful condo, and they were vacationing there for a while, and the husband is sitting in the living room, and he's looking out at the pool, and he's thinking, man, we should get out and get some exercise. And he yells out to his wife, why don't we change and go out and get some exercise? He's looking at the pool, so he goes in and gets his trunks on, and the wife is in the kitchen. She's looking out the window, and what she sees is a couple of people playing tennis. And she sees the tennis court out there. And so she goes in and she said, yeah, great, good idea. He goes out and gets his trunks on, and she goes out and gets tennis clothes on. It depends which window you're looking out of. How do you see your world? What window are you looking out of today? What vision of the world do you have that you can be a part of? What vision of the world that you have that you know that if you step in and make a decision to make a difference, that you can actually be equipped and trained to make a difference for God? Which window are you looking out the window of defeat and negativism, and that the world is going to hell in a handbasket? Or you were looking out the world of Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and there's good things happening in the world. I'm going to focus on that, and I'm going to run with that. You have to make a decision. We all have that decision. Which window are you looking out of? If you look out the right window, you'll be on God's team. You'll be on God's side. You'll be running with God. Hallelujah. Now, Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. A good person, a good man, a good woman leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Now, I want to focus a little bit about the fact that a good person leaves an inheritance for his children's children. An inheritance, the word means something that is or may be inherited. It is the genetic characters transmitted from one parent to offspring. Something as a quality, a characteristic, or other immaterial possessions received from predecessors. It also means a birthright, a heritage, an example of this is an absolute rule was considered the inheritance of kings. An absolute rule was considered the inheritance of kings. In other words, there was an environment that a king expected to rule in. He didn't expect to rule against a bunch of rebellious people. He expected to rule his subjects as a king, and the subjects would obey his rule. So the kings would expect a certain environment. Their heritage was a certain environment. And I want us to think of an inheritance in that light this morning, because we have the opportunity to leave an inheritance to our children's children. A good person, a good generation, leaves an inheritance to our children's children. So we are going to leave the next generation coming behind us and the generation behind that. We are going to leave something for them to walk into. And you and I can have a great influence on what that inheritance looks like. You and I have a great influence of what the environment that our children's children are going to be brought up in. We have a responsibility to look at that, to take it seriously, because we cannot live just for today. We have to live for the generation coming behind us as well. So the generation, the inheritance that we're going to leave to our children's children is something that is going to be better than what we lived in, or it's going to be worse than what we lived in. Choice is ours. You and I have to make that decision today. How am I living today? What am I doing even in my household that is going to provide an environment for my children to have a better chance at life than we have? To make a greater impact than you and I have. Listen to the scripture in Acts chapter 13, verse 36. King David, we know the story about King David, how he lived in his time. Acts 13:36, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep. In other words, he died. After David served the purpose of God in his own generation, David moved and was brought into the kingship of Israel, and he served the purposes of God concerning the nation of Israel. But he served his generation, but he didn't only impact his generation, he impacted Israel for generations to come. He served his generation, and then the Bible says that he fell asleep, or he went to be with the Lord. So David served God's purposes, not only for his generation, but also for the next. And he did something to provide for the generation coming after him. David was called by God actually to rule Israel and to do many great mighty exploits for God to set the kingdom, the Israelites free. He was a man of war. And David got in his head at one point that he was going to build a tabernacle for God, for the dwelling place of God. And of course, at that time, the dwelling place of God was basically the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was, in David's time, was in the tabernacle of David, and it was like a tent. But David said, I'm going to build a marvelous place for God, a place that would really be glorious and really represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he told that to the prophet Nathan, and Nathan said, whatever's in your heart to do, go ahead and do it. But then God spoke to Nathan and said, I don't want David to build me a house. I don't want David to build me a permanent dwelling place because he is a man of war. I don't want him to do that, but I want his son to build me a dwelling place upon earth. So what did David do? David began then, because of what Nathan had told him, David began then to prepare for the temple, for the generation coming after him, to prepare for his son to do what he couldn't do. David was preparing for the next generation to do what he couldn't do. And you and I are called to walk in that ourselves. We are to prepare for the next generation to do things that you and I were not able to do, that we couldn't do. Whether we weren't up to it or it just wasn't in God's timing, the things weren't exactly right, set in place in order for us to do it. But we believe that the next generation can do it. So we must prepare for that. We must prepare the generation following us. Let's go and let's read a little bit about what David was told in 1 Chronicles 17:4. Nathan said to David, go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. And verse 11, and it shall be when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you. He will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish it. So the Lord is telling David that I will establish the house and even my dwelling place through your son. God has given us a mandate for the next generation. Basketball stars once said, God put us here to prepare this place for the next generation. He's put us in a place to prepare us for the next generation. That's our job. Raising the community, helping raising children, helping community, that's preparing for the next generation. That's our job. We've been put here to prepare for the next generation. The church in our generation is to prepare for the next generation and help the next generation get to where we couldn't go. You and I, it's not here just to bless us. We're not here just to live comfortable. We're not here to get through life as comfortable as possible. We're here for a mission. God has a mission. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go therefore and make disciples. He didn't say, go therefore and fill up the church buildings. He said, go and make disciples. If you make disciples out there, we'll see transformation in our society. We'll see a change take place in society if we're willing to pay the price. if we're willing to run forward and pray, pay the price. In Judges 2:7, we hear read a very interesting story about Joshua. And if you know the story of Joshua, you know that he was a great commander that took the children of Israel into the promised land. And he was with them, and he led them as a general of Israel for many years. And then after, things shifted and changed. And in Judges 2:7, it says, "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel." And then in verse 10, "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers," that is the generation of Joshua and the generation of the elders, "another generation after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals." Now something happened with all the activity of Joshua's generation and the generation of the elders. They were so busy taking the land. They were so busy doing the things that they were supposed to do. They were so busy involved in the being victorious over the land that once they became conquerors of the land, the children coming behind them were not taught the mighty works of God. They were not taught the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says that the next generation who came after them did not know the Lord. They did not fear the Lord. And the next thing we know is that they served the foreign gods. They served the Baals. They were involved in idol worship. They turned away from God because the previous generation had not taught them, had not prepared the next generation to be able to live in the comfort that their generation didn't have. Now, what's that saying to you this morning? You see, we've been brought up in a generation, certainly the generation behind me, can't remember some of the things that I was brought up in. And because of that, sometimes when have you ever noticed that people who have come up in extreme poverty and they make it eventually really well, and they have a tendency, because they work so hard and they've gained a lot of money, and sometimes they can still live in a poverty mentality even though they have lots of wealth around them. And they enjoy all these things. They haven't learned, they haven't grown with their wealth experience. They still live in a poverty mentality. Now we have today a generation, and we see it on the screens and television right now. We see it on the screens riots that are taking place. Here we have a generation who were brought up without going through any wars, any kind of really, really poverty-stricken situations. They're a generation of entitlement, and now they feel they have a right to have something, to have a different president than the rest of the nation does not want. And so they're rioting because of an attitude of entitlement. That generation has not learned from the previous generation the things that was valuable to them, that hold them steady, to know that, hey, when everybody does not have to think exactly the same way as I do. If someone doesn't think exactly the same way as I do, that doesn't mean I must hate them and come against them and call them bigots and racists and everything else just because they have a different opinion. You see, they haven't been taught that to live in a democracy, there are some things you just can't have. There are some things that you're just not always entitled to. You're not always entitled to have your own way. Just because you've been given everything, even when you were a younger person and you really didn't have to work the way your parents did, doesn't mean that you can always have your own way. They didn't teach the next generation those principles. And you and I have a responsibility today to teach the next generation how to live in the plenty that they have and how to still appreciate the things of God. Deuteronomy 8:18, remember? And this was said to the children of Israel when they had everything that they wanted. Remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who gives you the ability to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant upon the earth. So in the midst of all the plenty we enjoy, we must remember it is the Lord thy God that gives us the ability to get wealth. The Lord thy God that gives us the ability to enjoy the comfort that we're enjoying today. And if we'll remember the Lord thy God, we'll remember his principles to walk in love, to love your neighbor, to treat one another with kindness and so forth. We will. That's how we remember God. In the midst of being able to have everything, we still obey the principles of God. We must teach that to the next generation. And even as we come to the communion table this morning, we must teach the next generation the value of fellowship, the value of one another, the value of coming together and honoring one another to God, the value of contributing to something that is larger than ourselves.